You're listening to StaggerCast, brought to you by Stagger Gear.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of StaggerCast. I'm your host, Adam Lampson. I'm here with our other host, Isaac Young. We're actually down to Isaac's again this week. And we have our superstar special guest of the day, of the week, Connor Shalong, if I pronounce that right.
Yeah, you got that right.
Connor's a young guy, but he's got a lot of experience, a lot of wisdom, and a lot of knowledge beyond his years when it comes to deer hunting. So we're happy to have him on this week and to learn some stuff from him. He's going to give us some stories. And if you're watching on the video, these are Connor's sheds from this year, which is pretty crazy. Or not just this year, but that one is, I think, right? Yeah. But to kind of dive into it, I want to turn it over to Isaac because you're from what, Royalton, Devil area?
Yeah, Central Vermont, yeah.
And then Isaac's from Southern Vermont, but you guys kind of become friends over the last few years.
So yep.
How did you guys link up?
Well, it's actually a pretty funny story. There's an area down here in Southern Vermont that I've been hunting pretty much my whole life, and I was up there in, it was like midsummer. I was up cruising the back roads, you know, I was going to go out and hang a camera or whatnot, just getting myself in the woods. And I see this Toyota pickup truck with a bunch of, you know, hunting stickers on the back of it. And I was like, who in the heck is this? You know, up in my territory.
Up in my honey hole.
Yeah, up in my honey hole. And I didn't really think much of it. So I went about my day and, you know, did my scouting mission or whatnot. And then later that night, I was on Facebook just scrolling, and I see a picture of this kid with a background that I definitely recognized.
Really?
And I messaged him, and the rest is history. He kind of let me know that his grandfather had a camp up in that area back in the day, and he was doing some scouting with, was your cousin?
Yeah, my cousin that day.
Yeah, and it's just funny how we met. It was like a fluke thing, but we've been good buddies ever since.
So you saw his truck.
Yep.
Didn't talk to him in the woods that day.
No.
You just happened to find him on Facebook later and said that.
Yeah,
we bumped into each other, what, a week or two down the road, or maybe a little longer than that.
Yeah, where did we, I don't remember.
Same road.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy, though.
It is kind of a funny story.
You guys just from there started filming together and hunting together and all that stuff.
Well, I mean, we'd been friends.
Yeah, we were friends on Facebook, and we had the same passion as each other, so we just kind of.
Yeah, we started. We talked for a couple of years, and then we started this past season. We hunted together a little bit, and, you know.
So this was your first year hunting together? Yeah. So you guys had met each other in the woods and then kind of grew from there. So you had a video this year. And you were hunting, and you were following with a camera, correct?
Yep, that's right.
And that was rifle season?
Yeah, that was, I think, second week of rifle season.
And you weren't tagged out at that point?
I wasn't tagged out at that point. I had some time off there, and Isaac got the day off that day, and it was some good tracking snow, so I figured I'd follow him around with the camera.
Gave up the day to hunt?
Yeah, that's right.
Camera. Yeah, that's awesome. But, I mean, you did end up tagging out, right?
Yep. Yeah, the following day, actually had some luck there. Isaac talked me into going back out, so I went to a new piece and cut a buck track about a mile or two into the day, and he took me up towards another mountain, but then he ended up turning and swinging back around, and it went back up the way he came, and I ended up bumping into him on top of the mountain there. He had gone down over the back side and chased some doe around, and I bumped him out of his bed coming up over the top.
Really?
And I think he just heard me coming up through, so once I found his bed and his bound marks, I snort wheezed a few times and let out a couple grunts. And I caught some movement down below me, and he was coming back up towards me, towards the sound from my grunt. And I just caught a little opening where I could see his head and neck, so I took a shot at him, and he made it about 50 yards, and he was down.
Really?
Right on top. Yeah.
That's crazy. You're standing in his bed. You let out a couple snort wheezes and grunts, and he starts coming right back to you.
Yeah.
So you kicked it. You kicked him out of the bed, and he went down?
Yeah, he was just bedded just over the rise from the top of the mountain, and he started to go down. Looked like, but he kind of veered back up towards me.
Yep.
And I think he just heard me coming up over the top of the hill. Yep. And jumped out of his bed and then stood there, and he probably heard me snort, wheeze, and grunt, and that brought him back up.
How many miles were you in that day, would you say?
That was, I think that was 3 or 4 miles into when I shot him.
Yep. And that's a pretty good day then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah, that was probably the worst drag out that I've had, though, is by myself up and over the backside of the ridge.
Oh.
All down.
So did you have to go up and then over?
Yeah, I went up and then hit an Appalachian trail and dragged them out that for a little ways, and then I was able to drop down the backside that I'd originally started from.
That's all. So. That's all state forest in Vermont.
Yep. Yeah, that's was crazy. All national forest land.
Well, at least you had a hiking trail to hook onto there.
Yeah, that certainly
that
helped.
That makes it handy. Yep. Yeah, some of the areas I hunt up north, it's the same way. You can usually grab a trail not too far off.
Right.
Did you have any help, or was it just you?
No, it was just me that day.
Oh, man, yeah. That's brutal. How many miles of a drag out was it?
I think it took me 3 or 4 hours, and it was about 2 miles, if I remember right.
Yeah. But that's a haul, though.
Yeah.
2 miles by yourself.
Coming through all the green growth up top was certainly the worst of it.
I was going to say, pushing through. I saw on your Instagram, you got them right up at the top.
Yeah, it was like 3,200 feet or so.
3,200 feet?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was right at the top of it.
That's where they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that in one of the last episodes. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
How much snow was up there that day?
There's a pretty good amount up top. It's probably 6 or 8 inches or so of nice, fluffy snow. So
yeah. Was it not tracking. Much, not much down low?
No, there was probably only a couple inches of crust down low.
Yep.
So you had to kind of go up high that day to find it, but... Yeah.
Were you hunting that day in Vermont, Isaac?
I was at work, unfortunately. I was chomping at the bit, actually, because the day before, we just couldn't connect. It's like the deer were zigging, we were zagging type deal.
And that was that video?
That was that video, yeah.
You were on a big one.
We were on a big one, but it was just weird. We were trying to do some funky stuff on him because it was actually kind of loud, so we were just like swinging on him a bunch, and then he got in with a bunch of deer, and they were just all over in there. It wasn't like a, you know, it was like they were running circles basically, and we just couldn't connect. But then
the timing was off the whole day.
Timing was off the whole day. Yeah, and Connor the following day, I'm at work, and he's sending me Snapchats on a buck track. Oh, I'm getting close. Like everything, I'm like, oh man, I wish I was out there, you know. But I only get a certain amount of time to do what I do, and. Mm-hmm. That's part of the game.
Yeah, you capitalize on it later in the season.
Yep.
So yes, kind of going back to that Vermont buck. So did you already have a New Hampshire buck down at that point, or was that your first buck of the year? Was your Vermont one?
I already had that New Hampshire buck down. I got him November 13th.
And an Ohio buck.
And an Ohio buck.
So yeah.
We got to rewind here then.
Yeah.
You can go back a little ways.
So you got a banner.
Let's talk New Hampshire. And then I actually have some questions for you about Ohio and how it relates to up here. But so your New Hampshire buck you got November 13th, you said?
That was November 13th, yep.
Bare ground,
yep. Sitting.
What's the story on that?
Yeah, so I'd been after this deer for quite a few years now, and every picture I'd had of him, he was always coming from one direction. So I just, over the years, been scouting kind of further up that way and ended up finding a nice little bench up there with a lot of buck sign the year prior. So coming into this year, I knew I wanted to get up in there to check it out, see if they were still in there. And opening day of muzzleloader season this year, it was a washout, so you could sneak around and be quiet all day. Mm-hmm. So I decided to cover some ground, and I went up into that area again and found it was all tore up and some big scrapes and big tracks all around up there. So I figured I'd like to go up in there and sit a full day at some point when I had time.
So sitting the whole day.
Yeah, I was going to sit there the whole day.
That's not easy.
Yeah. It was a nice little shelf and a lot of buck sign around in there. So I had confidence in there in that spot. But I got back from Ohio and I had all my stuff packed up to go sit in there that following day. And I hiked in there and I got set up just after daylight or so, and I wasn't there very long, and I could hear a deer, what I thought was a deer coming, and I sat there and I kind of spun around and got ready, and next thing I know I can just see his rack come up over the spruces right in front of me about 40 yards or so, and I almost rushed my shot, but I talked myself into waiting because I knew he's going to keep coming towards the scrape that I was sitting on. So as soon as he took a few extra steps there, I had a decent shot on him. So I shot him, and he went 30 yards or so, and he was down right in front of me.
Really? Yeah. So up on that bench, was it like a wicked scrape line, or do you have like post drops up there, or is it just kind of a natural area?
It was just a natural little bench area, and there was a lot of scrapes leading up to there, and just rubs kind of all going up to that bench. And it's just below the top of a ridge, so I figured they'd probably be up in there.
That's pretty cool.
Or something. Yeah.
How'd you end up finding that spot? Was it just putting miles on?
Yeah, just miles on the spring and winter scouting.
Yeah.
Just finding some good big scrapes, whatever, the good looking branches around. And
So you were sitting there how long, you said?
I got in there probably just at sunrise, and he came through at 8 o'clock or so. I probably wasn't there
for
an hour.
So you didn't have to sit all
day?
No,
I didn't have to sit all day. I had all my stuff with me to be there all day, but I didn't have to. So
that was a weekend, wasn't it?
Yep. I believe that was opening weekend of rifle.
Yeah, because I was hunting in Vermont that day.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure I was with my buddy Gilly, and I got the snap early.
Yeah.
And you're like, big buck down. Yeah. You're freaking out. Awesome.
Yeah. I was pretty surprised when I saw him coming through. I hadn't seen him at all in person, just lots of trail cam pictures, and then I had found his sheds.
Well, these were his sheds right here.
Prior. Yeah,
these two right here.
These two are his sheds, from the year.
We'll post, from for those that are listening, we'll post a picture of those to the Instagram page after. But that's great. So did he still have this little drop to him?
Nope, that drop was gone. It was just that one year, and I don't know if it's from this little injury in his antler here. He had a hole in the bottom of it.
Yep.
I don't know if that caused it or what, but pretty unique set of antlers, though.
What did that deer score?
This year, he scored 137. And, wow. These sheds, I'm not sure what they scored. They're pretty beat up, but...
Probably looks like 120s.
Yeah, probably, I'd say.
How old do you think that deer is?
He was aged at 6.5.
Six and a half?
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive. Yeah. That's white mountain buck right there?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is it relative to the area that you kind of beat around in, Isaac, or not?
Not really.
No, just no. Man, there's just some giants over there in New Hampshire. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that like your favorite place to hunt in New Hampshire?
Yeah, I'd say. I spend most of my time in New Hampshire, really. I haven't done too much scouting in Vermont in the past few years.
Yeah.
Just been focusing on a few main areas down there and putting my time into it.
How many cameras are you typically running out in New Hampshire that way?
Quite a few. Probably 20 to 30.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Just a couple different areas. So
that's so many.
I think it covered pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. I said the same thing, 20 to 30. Yeah, last podcast, 20 to 30.
You get a good idea of what's around and where they like to travel and where they show up on cameras and whatnot. So you kind of get an idea of where they hang.
Mm-hmm. Kind of, we'll come back. We're going to come back to some more scouting and stuff, but I guess we're just going to keep going backwards in time because
you got your Vermont buck.
Yeah.
You got your New Hampshire buck. And then you said you got one in Ohio before that?
Yeah, I got one in Ohio the first week in November, actually. We've been going out there for a few years, just hunting state land out there. And we got out there, I think it was the 5th or something. Yeah, November 5th. And the first day there, we did a bunch of scouting, me and my cousin. And that first night, I just happened to sit along an old clear cut with some fresh sign coming out of it, and a decent little 7-point came out. So that was the first night. And then we stuck around there for a few extra days to see if my cousin could have any luck, but he had a broken leg at the time, so he couldn't get around like he was hoping. So
is that Bo or was that?
That was Bo, yeah.
That was Bo. That's pretty cool. So is you been going down Ohio for a while?
I've been out there for 3 or 4 years now. I've actually had some pretty bad luck out there. I've seen some nice deer, but just never in the right spot at the right time, that type of deal.
It happens.
Yeah.
What kind of like brought you to go out there? Just seen it all?
Yeah, I just saw online. I wanted to try the Midwest and just see what it's all about. So
yeah.
I started up in northeastern Ohio, and it wasn't very good up there. And then you keep reading things about southern Ohio, so I went down there to try that. And there's definitely some big deer around down there for sure.
Is the southern portion of that more big timber, or is it more up north? Is it more timber?
Yep. No, it's a lot more big timber down in southern Ohio and more hills, similar to Vermont.
Yeah.
Pretty similar.
Would you say that like your experience hunting Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, the Northeast in general, is like, do you think that's helped you as far as figuring out deer down there? Or you think it's like totally different?
I'd say it helped just based on the deer numbers around here being lower than out there. Mm-hmm. So if you can find deer around here, you should be able to find them out there.
Yep. As far as like the woods go down there, is it a lot of oak and stuff?
Yep. Yeah. It's a lot of oak in this particular area, a lot of oak and old clear cuts.
Yep.
So they have some thick cover for bedding and good food around.
Any big hills down that way or not?
Yeah. Yeah. There some is... pretty decent hills. Not like around here, but probably 1,000 footers or so.
Yeah.
And you can get back in there pretty good down in the southern part, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's some pretty big chunks of state land down there that you can definitely wander around.
There's a big national forest piece down there too, isn't there?
Yeah.
Wayne National
Forest is a pretty big piece around there. I think there's a couple different sections across the state.
I'd love to go down there and try it.
Yeah.
During the rut.
You stand a good chance, that's for sure.
Seems like there's some good ones down
there.
Yeah. You always hear people like say the hunt up this way, like the real good trackers and hunters up this way. If you learn to kill a buck in the Northeast, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Adirondacks, Massachusetts, you can kill a buck anywhere. Yeah. So I was curious as far as that goes.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Huh. Yeah, I know. That'd be cool to try out one day.
Mm-hmm. It would be. So, Connor, let's talk about your 2020 bow kill.
Yeah.
Because that wrapped up everything this year, right?
You got
your Vermont buck. Ohio. Oh, and your Massachusetts buck. You shoot four, it's hard to even remember.
Yeah, I can't keep track.
You had a banner year for sure. Yeah. But you want to like walk us through the Mass buck real quick, even though I was there.
Yeah, sure. So
me
and Isaac have been hunting Mass and Nate quite a bit there the last, I don't know, week of the season or so. We just are bouncing around, hitting new areas, trying to find some good sign. And the last day of the season, we went into this spot and we were just kind of sneaking around. There wasn't any snow or anything, so we're just kind of tiptoeing. And I got into a lot of buck sign up on this ridge, so I just kind of working my way down the ridge and happened to stumble into a nice little 6-point that jumped up out of some mountain laurel. So I was able to sneak around on top of the ridge and cut him off, and I was able to get a shot into him.
You got some killer footage on that deer, too.
Yeah,
oh, sweet.
Yeah, that was a fun hunt.
If you guys haven't seen that video where Connor's actual kill shot and the follow-up and everything, that's on Isaac's YouTube channel, so check that out. I've never seen a deer bleed so much with a muzzleloader shot than that deer.
Yeah,
Woodman.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Woodman.
Pretty impressive.
You smoked that thing.
Yeah.
Jeez, you run a 45 or a 50?
That was a 45, yep.
Yeah, that seems like the way to go now.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like it. That was the first deer I'd shot with it, so I was pretty impressed.
Oh, they crank them. They crank them.
Yeah. That's crazy.
The way to go.
You were just creeping up along that ridge, right? And then did you see the buck over the edge? Is that what he was?
Yeah, I was just sneaking along, just grunting every now and then when I'd break sticks or whatnot, and I happened to hear something jump up down below me, and I saw him coming up out of some mountain laurel, and I couldn't get a shot at first because he was kind of in some brush, and then I ended up circling up and around him to cut him off.
That was pretty cool. You see, you hit a sprint, you're up on the ridge, you see him go, and then you, like, drop back, hit a sprint, go up the ridge, and then you somehow get ahead of him.
Yeah, it's very unique footage. Yeah. I don't think I've seen anything like it on YouTube.
Well, I figured if you'd heard me walking up there, he probably was going to go, so I figured I'd try to make myself sound like a deer walking up there and walk over the edge and see if I could see him. So
that's crazy.
It worked out.
So you cut back, dropped over the edge, and then ran up?
Yeah, I ran up to cut him off, and then...
Was he already ahead of you as you get up there, or was he kind of coming by you?
He was just out in front of me, kind of heading by me.
Seem like he was too spooked, was it?
No, I think he could just hear something, and he wasn't sure where it was coming from. And then he heard the grunting, obviously, mixed in, so...
And he was right in that mountain laurel stuff?
Yeah, he's right on the edge of the mountain laurel.
That seems like... Is that the ticket down that way, as far... You get those ridge tops with the mountain laurel?
Yeah,
They love that stuff?
It's funny, though. It's like you'll hit a certain point in Massachusetts where you start getting into that stuff.
Okay.
North of it, it doesn't grow.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, north of it's good hunting too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all good down there. I think mostly because of the way their season lays. And I mean, that's a whole discussion. But I mean, you get down in that mountain laurel, they definitely have a really good advantage, basically. It is a crap hole. Yeah, it's nasty. Oh, it's nasty. You can hardly get through the stuff. And the Catskills, what we talked about a little bit on the last podcast, that's full of mountain laurel.
Really?
I've heard Pennsylvania is full of mountain laurel.
So there's just a line that comes right across there.
Pretty much. Yeah. And it's funny because down where we were hunting is down in same... Is it latitude? Is that the one that goes this way?
Yeah.
Same latitude as where we were kind of, and so it's a line right there. Something about, I guess, you get just north of that. I don't know if it's sunlight or...
So you're north of that, and the ridge tops are open
bare
hardwoods.
Yeah, open hardwoods.
As soon as you go south, it's all hardwoods, but it's just thick.
Yep.
I remember seeing that the first time, I can't remember, it was a while ago, someone posted a picture, and it was like, it was covered in snow, but it's still green. Like,
because
it just never drops leaves.
Yeah, they never lose your leaves, so it stays thick all year round.
And they just bury themselves in it.
Yeah.
I found a pretty good signpost on a mountain laurel down there. It was actually, I think it was in that video of your buck, the first one I ever found on a mountain laurel. But it kind of reminds me of like a lilac bush or something. Kind of like a weird, like... honeysuckle, maybe.
Yeah. You're not getting through it easily.
Yeah, no.
Sure.
They got some like wicked trails right through that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Tunnels.
Little tunnels.
Yeah.
That's great. So you got, let's see. So we started on your Vermont deer.
Yep. We're jumping
went
around.
Went to your New Hampshire deer. Went to your Ohio deer.
Yeah.
Went to Massachusetts. And then you said you got a doe, right?
I got a doe. Yeah. Usually early season, I like to start out down in New Hampshire and try to get a doe to knock the rust off and get some meat in the freezer. So,
five deer year.
Hell of a season. Kids are savage.
Can't keep up with this guy.
Kids are savage.
Can't keep up with the story.
Should see him. Yeah.
Holy.
So. Let's talk about your 2020 bow kill, because I think that is pretty impressive. He made Pope and Young, correct?
Yeah.
In the Northeast.
Really?
He made Pope and Young.
He was 130 and some change.
What did he net out at, 128?
I think it was either 128 or 129.
120. So, I mean, Pope and Young's net 125.
Yeah.
That's one of my dreams, personally, is to get a Pope and Young deer in the Northeast.
That's
it. Kind of a coveted, little thing, but... you actually had some history with that buck.
Yep.
And you hunted him for how many years?
He was just, I think I hunted him just 2 years or
two years. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, run us through.
Yeah. So, I've been scouting this area quite a bit over the years, and I had found a couple of big scrapes in particular along some thick cover. And running cameras all that summer, I had pictures of him around that area.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew he was around. And then I figured come October, November time, he'd probably be hitting those scrapes.
Yep.
So I just kept tabs throughout the season on those scrapes there to see if he was at them. And he didn't start hitting those scrapes until mid to late October time. And that was all at nighttime. So I wasn't even hunting in there, just staying out of that area. I was hunting around there, but not over those scrapes.
Yep.
And then come late October time or so, he started showing up there pretty regularly, about every 1 to 3 days or so. He was hitting that scrape, it seemed like, just on the edge of daylight. So I knew I had to be in there for when he slipped up and came in there in daylight. So I sat there, I think it was 3 or 4 days straight, dark to dark. And when the last night that I had to hunt there before leaving for Ohio, he actually came through at 17 yards about 30 minutes before daylight, so before dark. So
yeah, that's crazy. So is that that's White Mountains area as well?
Yeah. That was all the White Mountain National Forest area.
Yeah, this is a tracking podcast and stuff, but the way that Connor goes about finding deer throughout bow season all the way through tracking is the same. It doesn't change. Was he up on like a shelf like your other deer, or was that?
He's kind of up on a little knob.
Yeah.
Not super high up in elevation, but all in big woods though.
Just area that he was on. That's
just
pretty crazy.
Just an area I'd been scouting a lot and kind of had an idea where they like to hang that time of year and whatnot.
That's crazy.
Yep.
And that was your heaviest buck to date,
right?
That was
the heaviest buck. Yeah, he was 205.
Dressed down. 205, yep. Boba. Wow, that's awesome. So you got your big buck tag for that one, and geez.
Yeah,
and
it's pretty,
Pope and Young.
Pretty happy with that one, yeah.
That's awesome.
That was my first like real big buck, actually. So.
That's crazy. I think I saw a picture on Instagram. So that buck, you had a picture of it. With an e-bike, right?
That's right, yeah.
What's the story? Because like I was thinking about ordering an e-bike, because like a lot of the areas that I hunt in Vermont and or I want to check out New Hampshire, there's a lot of like good access where you can, there's like hiking trails and walking trails and stuff where you can get in there. I feel like that's going to save you so much time. How did that play in for you?
Yeah, that was a big part in just scouting and learning the areas, just being able to get back in there a lot further and easier than having to hike it in there every time. Otherwise, you're not going to have the motivation every day to want to hike back in.
How far was that buck from like your parking area?
He was about a mile and a half to 2 miles from the truck where I'd parked when I shot him. And it wasn't all like deep woods where I'd got him, but it was just kind of the roundabout way in there. And the bike works pretty well for that. I don't always use it for hunting just because it's kind of a pain to carry all my gear and whatnot. But for scouting and turkey hunting and stuff like that, it's awesome for that.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah. So did you had it the day you got that buck though?
Yeah, I did.
You rode in on that?
And yeah, I rode it in. Had to ride the bike out that night and drag the deer out, but I couldn't drag it out with a bike.
I was going to force you. I was wondering that if you could have used the bike to drag him out or something.
Yeah. No, if I had a car, I definitely probably could have, but I was stuck dragging him that night.
I've seen a picture of a guy. He took a buck and he draped it over the handlebars, the front half of him, and then like the back half of him and like probably like the cavity was like over the seat.
Yeah.
And he was riding on the buck on the e-bike, riding out the.
It's one way of doing it.
Yeah. It looked pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have to definitely. I've been looking at e-bikes because I want to. It just seems like it saves you so much more time.
Yeah.
In the off-season scouting.
Yeah. A lot of the national forest there is a lot of gated roads, so you can really get back there a lot easier.
If I had one of those, I'd get fat.
Easy to get lazy.
I need to keep walking.
Yeah.
I eat way too much.
So. It does seem so slick, though. I definitely look into that.
Yeah, turkey season is pretty fun because you can just ride around and stop and throw out calls and listen.
Oh, that's
and
a good. That's
so,
a good
yeah.
point. Yeah,
cover
I think
a lot
about
of ground.
That,
yeah.
Most of those days, you're just running around trying to get one to go.
Yeah,
off.
Exactly.
That makes sense. Huh. Kind of going off of like how you scout and stuff, how much time are you putting in like before the season is for like, when are you putting cameras out and when are you, how early are you putting all these miles on? Is it as soon as the snow melts, or are you doing it later in the year, or what?
Well, I'm scouting all year round, basically. I'm pretty much, once the season ends, I'm out in the woods still, just kind of checking things out and seeing where they're at. As far as cameras, I don't really put cameras out until June-ish, May, June or so. But, I usually use cameras for just intel what's around the area and whatnot. But,
Any big ones you get your eyes on for this coming year that you didn't get a shot at this year?
Yeah, there's a few. One in particular that's still around that I know of. I don't really know where he's at all the time, but he seemed to come and go at a certain time of year. Mm-hmm. So hopefully next October or something, I have a new story with him.
That's pretty cool. Huh. Do you have any near misses this year? Anything like that? Or
I've had a lot of near misses. Not so much this past year. I was able to connect on most of them. Luckily, but yeah, over the years, I've definitely screwed up on my fair share of tracking and bow hunting, for that matter.
Yep.
Any stories that kind of stand out as bucks that got away?
Yeah, there's one. The first couple of years I started hunting New Hampshire, I got a good fresh set of snow that night, so I went down and cut a nice track, and I followed him for a little ways, and I got a glimpse at his rack, and he was a monster, but I had ended up bailing off him way too soon in the day just because he was heading the other way, and I really kicked myself for that one, just not staying with him all day.
Great big one.
Yeah, he had a nice rack, good tines on him.
Huh. Would you say you hunt, is it New Hampshire you hunt the most, it seems like?
Yeah, I hunt New Hampshire the most, usually.
You just took to it? You like the woods the best down there?
Yeah, that, and I just seen some better deer around in there, and it's about the same distance for me to go to New Hampshire as it is to hunt National Forest in Vermont, so
okay.
I just tend to go makes down sense. That yeah, way. Yeah, because
you're not too far, and you are down the interstate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Isaac and I were kind of talking about that in one of the last podcasts, is how the Connecticut River is like the Great Divide from...
Yeah, that's right.
With rack wise, it's and like you're living proof of that. I mean, you look at some of these sheds here on the table, like for like this one right here, the one I'm holding up, we'll post a picture of after, but you don't see much of that in Vermont. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, like when you're shed hunting and stuff in the winter and the early spring, is it super random, or is it like, do you have like areas where you're like, hey, I think I can go here and find a shed, or is it just random? You're just putting on miles and pounding ground, or what?
Yeah, they can be pretty random sometimes, but I've definitely learned not go target the spots I was hunting them in the early fall, because oftentimes they're not in there. I've wasted a lot of time in earlier years shed hunting, going to the wrong spot and spending all my time in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a good idea to, or really best to try to find them in the winter time to see where they're hanging.
Yep.
And then go and target those areas.
Okay.
And I like to look for like spruces or oaks nearby and cover and feed close to each other.
Yep.
Those are the best spots I seem to find.
I was going to ask you, is it like the sheds you find, are they mostly all in like a general area, or are they kind of, you like have to go from like one area to another, or like they all kind of group up in those mountain areas together? Or is it?
Yeah, I've seen to find a couple of them grouped up. But usually it's just kind of spread out, whatever it seems like.
How many sheds you say you find a year?
Oh, it all depends.
Your best year.
Yeah. Last year, but my best year, I think I found 15.
Oh my god,
that's pretty good. And good ones.
That was
too.
A lot of miles.
In the Northeast.
Man. Yeah, that was year of COVID, so I had a lot of time off from like March.
15.
Yeah.
How many did you find a year, Isaac?
I've found 3 sheds in my entire life.
And one of them was this year.
one of them was this year.
You found in Massachusetts.
Dude, I'll tell you, he's next level shed hunting. Next level.
Vermont's a different story when it comes to finding sheds.
I'm telling you.
What's the secret sauce? What are we missing out?
You've told me before, you grid.
Yeah.
He grids.
Oh, you grid.
Yeah.
I am not a gridder.
Okay, yeah, me either.
I have no patience for gridding.
Yeah.
But I just go point A to point B and hope that I find one. And
stumble
that's
across
probably my issue.
Yeah.
I mean, you are literally, you said take a bank
with
oaks or something, and you'll literally go up, come back, or zigzag, or whatever you do.
So you're just doing swaths.
He's gridding the woods.
It seems stupid sometimes to be walking right next to where you walk, but you'd be surprised at how many times you've walked by him and you didn't see him going one way. So I just really like to grid search and just zigzag. If I find a spot with lots of good sign, and I'll search the hell out of it, just zigzagging back and forth.
Just
and
spend the whole day.
Yeah, spend the whole day sometimes. Yeah, and I use Onyx Tracker a lot to see where I've been. Yeah,
see, that's
that
smart
throughout
too.
The day. So you can kind of see where you've covered and where you haven't.
Where you can go back
into those spots that you haven't been into and try to.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, you're committed to it for sure.
I spend a lot of time.
It's doing something that I want to get better at. Mm-hmm. I really, truly want to get better at, because I love shed antlers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they're so cool. And especially to get like more history with the bucks that you're hunting, but
it builds a story. Scout too.
Yeah. I've never shed hunted out of state, which I'm going to this year.
Yep.
So I think that's going to be kind of the difference, because Vermont is a different animal.
Yeah, you know
what I'm saying? It's like it seems like a lot of the bigger ones are probably still back in the mountains when they shed them around here before, if they even go to a yard,
right?
Or a
southern place. There's really not much yard.
So,
Do you have a shed dog, or just you? Just
no, it's just me. I'm the shed dog.
I'm gonna freaking leash him up and take him out next time. He'll be my shed dog.
That's awesome.
But no, it's lots of miles. I usually start, like I said, right around now.
Yep.
And just go every weekend, every chance I get.
Even in the deep snow, or you kind of just start.
It depends. If I know it wanted to drop, if I had pictures of it, or whatever, I'd go in the deep stuff.
Okay.
But usually, I like to wait until it's pretty much melted, maybe a little bit on the ground, because you can kind of follow trails in and really see where they'd been still. Yep. That's pretty helpful. But
that's crazy. How many match sets you found?
Probably four to five sets.
And then usually just a bunch of singles.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of singles. I have a hard time trying to match them up.
So 15 was your best year, and that was last year, you said?
That was
2020.
2020, yeah, that was a year of COVID.
How'd you do in this past year then?
This past year, I found a handful. I didn't do very good this past year.
You found a Boonji up in Maine.
Yeah, I found a
hog ski.
Yeah, that was a big one. I found it up in Maine. It was laying in a brook, actually, and it was a couple of years old, I'd say. It just must have been frozen in because the squirrels had chewed off all the tines on. They were sticking out of the ice.
He was a Gehebo horbus.
Yeah, he was a big one.
It must have been in the 60s. Yeah. At least 160s.
Yeah. Really? Oh, that big. Big? Wow. Yeah.
Big, huge.
Nice,
maybe.
Long beam, yeah.
Yeah.
You do much moose shed hunting, or is it mostly just deer?
I don't. I mean, I wouldn't mind, but there's really not too many moose around the area I am, so
you don't really
want to
drive way up.
Yeah, I don't have much luck finding those.
Yeah. How much would you say, like, your shed hunting in the spring and the winter helps you as far as once the season comes around?
I'd say that's
helped me. Paint the picture for you?
Yeah, I'd say that's really helped me a lot the last few years.
Yeah.
I've spent so much time throughout the winter and spring and even summer for that matter, just out in the woods, seeing where they are and seeing the finding the sign and whatnot, that it just seems to help me out come fall.
Yeah. And then it kind of paints a picture where you're going to put cameras and stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. You're out there looking for sheds and you're seeing the sign and finding scrapes and all that. So it just wraps right back around into fall.
So this giant shed we have here on the table, the one that Connor just found, you had that buck on camera this year?
Yep. Yeah. I've had him on camera for a few years now.
That's crazy. And have you found his sheds before? Or is this the first year?
No, this is the first year I found him. And it was actually right in the area where I was hunting him, surprisingly.
Wow. And you ever have any run-ins with this buck this year?
Yep. I had seen him once in end of October time frame or so.
Isn't that nuts?
Crazy horn.
Oh, dandy.
He was just cruising on a bench above me, and I had my bow, and I couldn't get a shot at him. So,
you see, he was just cruising through.
Nope, he was just cruising through. I'd grunted to him once, and he stopped, but he wasn't interested in that, so he kept going.
Wow. He even got some little some bark down in the horn.
Yeah,
still,
still holding some bark on there.
What do you think that buck scores?
He got to be 150.
Yeah, I'm sure he's probably 150.
Higher end of 150s, probably.
Giant.
Yeah. Well, Connor, switching gears a little bit back to camera stuff, what do you like to run your cameras on specifically?
I've had the most luck on scrapes.
Right.
You really find those big scrapes that are just hammered year after year with good licking branches. And if they're in the right area where the deer are all year, they seem to hit them all year.
Mm-hmm.
In some spots, they come on and off, like come October or so, they'll be hit. But certain scrapes I have, they'll be hit in April, May, June.
Yep.
All through the summer into the fall.
Really? So, all the way through?
Yep.
Big community scrapes, huh?
Yeah, it just takes, a lot of miles just to find those scrapes, but once you find them, they seem to produce for cameras at least.
So, I mean, if you're attacking a new area as far as that goes, are you just putting on miles to find the scrapes, or are you going to kind of, like, target more geographical stuff, or just...
Well, I look at both, but usually start out on X, whatever, like you were saying, looking at topo maps and start that. And then once you get boots on the ground, you kind of follow the sign around, see where it leads you.
Yep.
Go from there.
You hunt Maine at all, or are you just mostly Vermont and New Hampshire?
Last year was my first year up in Maine. My grandparents have a camp up there. So I did a little scouting up there in the summer and put a couple cameras out, but didn't put a whole lot into it last year, but I plan to this year after just having some good bucks on camera last season. So
that's pretty cool. Any luck this past year?
No, I didn't see any bucks when I was up there. I'd seen some doe, but nice to at least see a deer when you're up there.
Yeah. Is that where that camp? Are you Eastern Maine or Western Maine there?
This is coastal Maine.
Okay.
But
Northern,
like northeast.
There's still some big woods. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Decent chunks of woods. A lot of cedar swamps around there. Pretty thick woods, but
seems like those best racks in Maine coming from those coastal areas. Like, I saw one on Facebook, I think it was a couple weeks ago, and it scored like it was 183 or something like
his,
that.
His cameras were nuts.
Oh, you had some crazy
super mags.
Really?
Yeah, I'll show you after this. There's some pretty nice ones down there.
No way.
Yeah
that seems crazy.
Yeah.
Like you touched on that last time about how the closer you get to the ocean, it seems
something
like,
about it, man.
It's really
salt there.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. The closer you get to the ocean, though, in the Northeast for sure.
Big bodies on those ones you had on camera, or was it more rack than anything?
Yeah, there's one with a good body, but
they
definitely have some nice racks. Yeah.
Jeez, did you crack a New Hampshire buck last year with a rifle, or was it?
No,
just the bow one.
Last year, I think I missed one during rifle season. I tracked one around and took a crack at him, but I never caught up to him during rifle season.
Yep.
So just the bow buck last year in 2020.
That's pretty cool. Kind of going back into tracking, like, when you have a perfect tracking day and you're getting out of the truck, are you heading towards those like community scrapes where you, where you're looking for a track, or are you just kind of striking off?
Usually tracking, I'm often in the new areas, so I don't really know where those scrapes are. So I'll just kind of head off and have a big route planned out for the day. Maybe make a big swing up on a mountaintop or down through a swamp or something, just to try to cut a track. But usually not so much drawing on cameras come tracking time.
Hey, a quick word about Stagger Gear. We're a new company coming out this year that's making products specifically designed for hunting and tracking in the Northeast. We got some sweet innovative products that are built with Big Woods heritage, but have some modern twists and tweaks to them that are really going to give you an advantage out there. So you can check us out on Instagram or Facebook, or you can go on our website, www.staggergear.com. See you out there. All right, kind of diving back into it. I want to hear some tracking stories. I want to hear some buck stories from Connor. You got anything, most memorable hunts, anything off the top of your head, that some killer stories for us or what?
Yeah, so I first one that comes to my head that really got me into tracking was I was down in New Hampshire 1 year and cut a fresh track. At the time, I figured it was a big track, but I didn't know too much about what I was looking for. So I was just kind of following the track at the time, and he brought me up into some thick, like, clear cuts and then some spruces and whatnot, and I wasn't really paying much attention. I just so happened to catch a glimpse of a deer standing there looking at me, and so I swing my gun up on him, and I just see the rack as he's staring at me, and as soon as I was about ready to pull the trigger on him, he took a leap, and he bounded off out of there, so I swung, and I took a crack at him, and I hit the tree right in front of him, so never connected on him, but I followed him around the rest of that day, and he brought me up on top of a mountain and just was never able to connect to him again. He was always setting up on me, laying there watching me coming up over the hill and whatnot. Just
doing
like
those big ones do.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll get you hooked on it, won't it?
Yeah, it sure will.
Chasing around those big ones.
Yeah, but you chase one day and you're pretty much hooked then once you have a run in with them.
Yeah.
Fall in love with it.
Yeah, definitely. Something to it that certainly brings you back for more.
So that was the first buck that you really tracked?
Yeah, that was the first one that I really tracked and got an opportunity to see and to shoot at. So
what was the first buck you killed tracking?
The first buck I killed tracking was in Vermont, actually. It wasn't a very big rack buck or anything, but I went out behind the house and I cut a fresh track there in the snow from that night and followed him for quite a ways and bumped him once. And he went back down over a ridge towards a road where it's normally all posted up down there. So I didn't think I could go down too far. And he ended up getting in some doe and chasing them around. I just so happened to catch him running by me chasing a doe. So really? I was able to get a few shots off at him there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that was the first one tracking there. I haven't gotten too many tracking, just a handful. But
yeah,
it's a lot of fun, though.
Yeah. You know how to find them better than a lot of people, so it's impressive no matter how you get them, really. If you're big woods hunting, you're tracking or you're sitting there doing still hunting, whatever, if you can find the deer, I mean, you look at the sheds on the table here and you know how to find some deer.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah, you put your time in, that's for sure.
Yeah, and a big part of it is putting time in. I'm fortunate enough to be able to take a lot of time off in the fall, since I work for myself throughout the spring through fall. So I'm able to put a lot of time in spring scouting and summertime and even fall hunting them. So that certainly helps and plays a big part into being successful that time of year.
That's handy for sure. Yeah. You got to be willing to put the time in. That's what deters a lot of people. I mean, whether it's up to them, like, I mean, a lot of people got to work, you know, they don't have the freedom in their schedule as far as like we do and you do as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely. Right.
But yeah, you just got to make the most of what you have. Kind of keeping the buck stories rolling here. I want to hear about Isaac's haircut buck, right? You had a video of it up on YouTube. I remember you talking about it. It was a good one. What's the story behind that one?
So unfortunately I didn't get that buck, but it was the second day of Vermont's rifle season. And, we got snow in the higher elevations around here. And, I took off early that morning trying to cut a track from the road and I couldn't. So I started pounding up through the mountainside, trying to cut one on foot, but we had gotten all the snow that night. So a lot of the deer were very localized. They were in the area that they'd been bedded up. You know what I'm saying? It was hard to find a track just because the snow was fresh. Mm-hmm. And I ended up about 5 miles into the day. It was only like 9 o'clock. I cut a big buck track with a doe, in a notch of a mountain, like pretty high up, probably around 3,000 feet.
Yep.
And man, as soon as I cut the track, I knew he was right there. And I didn't even track him really. I was just scanning, looking for him. Mm-hmm. And
you knew he was right
there. Yeah, I knew he was right there. Yep. There was beds. I saw like 5 beds like a minute after I cut the track. Like they were just right in there. Yeah. So I was just creeping along, looked to my right. I thought I saw a black bear. Just see big black looking thing, big shoulders, and I look and it's a buck, a big buck. Yeah, you know, I could just see big frame. He was digging a fern.
Yep.
And he was facing right at me. And I'm way up on the mountain. The wind's doing funny stuff. I can feel it on the back of my neck. I feel it on my face, doing all swirling all around. And I had the bead right. I was holding my peep sight, the bead, the front bead. I had it right between his front shoulders, kind of on his back.
Mm-hmm. Trying to push one right.
Trying to put one right down through. I was waiting. I was like, oh, maybe he'll turn. But he just kept digging that fern. And I was like, man, I can't wait. Because I just had one little window.
Mm-hmm. Down he's facing through. You?
Yeah, he was facing me. And I just had one little window to him. So it's like if he took 2 steps to the right, he was gone. If he took 2 steps to the left, he was gone. Because everything was covered in snow. Mm-hmm. So one thing I've learned over the years, just in hunting in general, is if you wait too long, a lot of times your chance is going to just go away. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just got to make it happen. And that kind of was ringing in my head.
Yep.
I'd only had been watching him for probably 30 seconds, but I mean, that's, you know, that's
a long time.
That's a long time watching a big buck on top of a mountain. You know, they're pretty, pretty sneaky creatures. So I ended up touching one off. The buck humped right up and took off running. And I figured I put a good shot on him just the way he acted, but I got over to where he was standing, just a big tuft of hair.
No blood.
Like, no blood, nothing. I'm like, oh, crap, you know? So I start following him, and he ran for quite a ways, and probably 200 yards from the spot where I'd hit him, he was waiting for me, and he saw me coming and ran.
Did he go up? Got up above you?
Yeah, he got up above me. In hindsight, being 2020, and I kind of took this away from the situation. If I would have just waited at the spot where I had shot him, he probably would have come back looking for that doe.
Yep.
Within an hour, I bet you. Because that doe was still right there. I ended up spooking her when I was going over to look at to see if I had any blood.
She just went just a little bit out of
the way. She just ran.
She went left. He went right up the hill.
And because I gave him a haircut, and it probably didn't feel the greatest. But he didn't know where or what. Did it. And if I would have just waited, man, he would have come right back. And that's something that I kind of learned, that if, you know, if you make a marginal shot or maybe even miss one, that's with a doe, and you're in kind of a funny little spot, like I was, swamp up on a mountain.
Yep.
Just wait. Cause he's going to come right back looking
especially
for
if that doe is right. Yeah,
that's right. And they're just so dumb that time of year. You know, I was so worked up. I was so full of adrenaline. You know, I was just kill, kill, kill. Like, that's all. I was going to stay on him. Got to get him. The way he humped up, I thought I punched one down into a lung or something. Mm-hmm. But I should have known. Yep. I should have known at that angle that if he didn't flop right there.
Because you would have been coming through the shoulder blade.
Breaking back. Or,
still alive. Yeah. In the moment, though.
In the moment. But, you know, it's like you learn something every day. Mm-hmm.
Gave him a sweet pinstripe down the side.
Yeah, I got a bunch of pictures of that buck this year. Actually, I had a couple cameras up in that area, and he's a good one.
He's still after you shot him?
No, actually checked the camera the day that I hit him, and I had seen pictures of him from this year, and I actually haven't been back in that area since that day.
Yeah, was he an 8 or
what? He was an 8 pointer. Big Vermont. Yeah, probably 115 inch 8 pointer, but body size was the big
boy.
He's over 200.
Huh. Something to look forward to for this year then.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean,
the way she goes.
It's the way she goes. You don't get them all. I mean, no. If I had a dollar for it.
And kind of going back to what you were saying, when you were saying like, I got to shoot this deer.
Yep.
When it comes to tracking and hunting more in the Northeast, it's crazy how fast things go down.
Mm.
Like, it seems like when you're hunting in Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire, like, you see a deer and it's like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Even if that deer is like even that deer doesn't know you're there, right, unless like you're catching it in a bed or whatever. But, like, 2 seconds goes by and that thing's behind a wall of spruces. You're never gonna see that deer again.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you have to capitalize.
Oh yeah, you on your opportunities, you have your chances, and you got to be able to think fast.
It's right
when you're tracking or you're still hunting through the woods, it happens so fast. And I think a lot of people that maybe don't hunt this region don't understand exactly how fast you have to go down. Versus like if you're sitting in a farm field somewhere Midwest, not shitting on them or anything like that, but like it goes down so fast in the big woods, it's crazy.
Yeah, you got to be
on it.
You got to be twitchy.
You got to be on the game.
You got to be when the opportunity arises.
Yeah, you don't get too many second chances around here usually.
So. No, you don't, and you cannot be waiting for a perfect shot.
Yep,
usually doesn't happen.
No, I mean, I get a lot of flack on YouTube for like taking a head-on shot or doing stuff like that, but people just don't realize what we're working with. Yeah, you don't get those perfect shots, man.
I can think of like on one hand when I'm tracking how many perfect broadside stand, that just doesn't happen.
Yep.
Like it's either they're bounding over a knob or going behind a bunch of spruce trees or is something. It doesn't happen all romantically like you see on TV hunting shows and stuff. When you get to shoot, I mean, I'm all for making an ethical shot, but typically if you got a shot, you got
to
take
it. Absolutely. And you got snow at least to be able to follow them after 2
yeah,
plus.
That's
so.
The thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If there's not snow, maybe a different story, not taking a shot at them or whatever.
For sure. I mean, the quicker you can get it done, obviously the better, but you got to shoot when you get chances because you might go all season and get one chance at a buck.
Yep, that's right.
I mean, I've had years before, right? Like 2019, I think it was, 2018 or 2019, I had one chance at a buck and it just ended up being like a four corn. But I did so many miles, just never worked out, never got a chance at a buck.
And that happens, yeah.
It happens. It's the way it goes. I mean, you see some of the best hunters like the Hal Bloods and so on, like they'll go year two without getting a buck, and it's just the way it goes when you're hunting in the Northeast. It's rough, but you just got to commit to it.
Yeah, stay dedicated to it and stay after it and pay off at some point.
And be like Connor Shalong.
Yeah, be like Connor Shalong.
Know where all the deer are. Season starts.
Yeah.
I wish.
Huh.
Oh, man, what a year you had. What a year.
Can't complain.
Was that your best year?
That was my best year, yeah.
That's a banner year.
I probably won't be able to come close to that next year.
I mean,
you I'll try.
You never know. How old are you? You're what?
I just turned 24.
24?
Actually.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday? Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Huh. Yeah, no, you're going to have some more years.
Yeah.
I hope.
You got a knack for it, for sure.
Yeah, I usually don't do podcasts just because I don't want to come across cocky and act like I know it all or whatever. But
no, it's good to talk about it, though. It builds a sport and teaches people. I mean, people are always going to come at you
online
or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
no, exactly.
I think it's funny reading some of your YouTube comments, Isaac, and it's like, should have shot again. Took too long to reload.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, just,
where are your speed loaders?
The video of the big deer is kind of comical to read down through it.
Oh, yeah, everybody's got an opinion. You just got to roll with it and just know that you're doing it for the right way, teaching people, getting the word out there about stuff. But it's fun for sure.
What about you, Adam? Do you have any big buck tracking stories that come to mind?
I mean, we can go over the one I did this year if you guys want, real quick.
Yeah. The one you shot?
The one I shot this year in Vermont. Ended up being an 8.156, I think it was. And that was the Tuesday of the first week. And I think it was similar to Connor's where we just got that snow, but it was mostly up high.
Yep.
And kind of where I hunt up in northern Vermont, more like north central kind of Mansfield area. And there's a lot of hiking trails down low. So that morning I got out and kind of tying back to what you say, I have a shelf up about, it's probably 2,800 feet on the lower side up to about 3,000. It's just this like long mountain shelf that kind of tapers up. And there's always a wicked scrape line up there. And I can almost always get a buck track up there. I've shot two or three bucks that I cut from that shelf in that piece of woods. I've cut their tracks there and followed them from there. So I went up to that shelf. And kind of up above that shelf, it's like there's like a little knob where there's always a group of does, it seems like, hanging out. So I get up there on that shelf, and the snow stopped at like 5 that morning, and no tracks on that shelf, nothing. Scrapes hadn't been hit, nothing like that. So I kind of start looping, go up around that knob, and I kick a doe off that knob all by herself, surprised. Nothing with her, did a loop around that knob, just her tracks coming in, and then her tracks going down. She was going straight like down the mountain, kind of towards the way where I just came from. So I'm like, well, that's a surprise. Usually you always get a buck track up on this shelf, but didn't work out. So I started doing some zigzags where I'm dropping down to like 2,600 feet and then going up to like 3,300 feet up in the green growth stuff. And usually if you can't get a track on that shelf, you can usually, that whole mountainside, you're going to cut a buck track coming down or or going up or something like that. So I went down, nothing. I went back up to 32, 3300 feet, nothing. Went down again, nothing. Went back up again, nothing. So it's like, I think it's like 9 at this point, and I've probably done, I don't know, 4, 4.5 miles. I was moving pretty good.
Have you cut any tracks at that point?
No, just that doe.
Yeah.
So nothing. So I go up. This is my second or third zigzag up. Get up in the green growth, nothing, and then I start cutting back down. I'm like, all right, this is gonna be my last cut down on this spot, and then I'm gonna head towards the back of the valley because there didn't seem like there was a whole lot going on this side where there usually is. So I get about halfway down on my last zigzag, and there's a track coming from where I just came from, almost like that direction. So I'm like, I just kicked this deer off. It wasn't like running track, but it wasn't walking. It was kind of like trotting, you know, like that in between speed where they're kind of just like bebopping through the woods. So I'm like, I must have just kicked this on my last zigzag and just didn't see it. So I get on that buck track, and it's a good one. It's not a giant one, but, you know, a good Vermont mountain buck track.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I go maybe, I don't know, quarter to a half mile, and get up to like this little rise, come up over the rise, and I see a deer, some movement going behind like a wall of spruce trees, like 6 foot, like Christmas trees. And as it's kind of bounding, I see a main beam swing out. So I'm like, yep, there it is. Pull up, crack a shot through the Christmas trees, get down there, and there's a bunch of hair and like two tiny specks of blood. So I'm like, oh, I hit it. But like, it was like white hair. Like, I don't know if it was belly at that point or like almost, you know, it's like white, like right there on the back of the arm. So I'm like, oh, I don't know if I got a leg or under. So get down there to that, look around, and I go maybe 80 yards, and kind of in that area, it's like, it's shelfy, so it's like shelf, and then drops like 100 yards, and it shelves out again, drops 100 yards, shelves out again. So I get down to that next shelf where the track's going, and there's like one speck of blood, like every, I don't know, 50 yards there. Go like 100 yards, there's like just a few specks of blood. Look down over the next shelf, and on that next shelf down about 100 yards, there's a deer facing me, looking back up at me, and its head's like in like a pine tree almost. Can't see its head very much, so I pull out my binoculars. Thing's like 100 yards staring at me. Pull out the binoculars, look. I'm like, yep, main beam. Look at the tracks. Yep, tracks going right down to it. So I'm like, that's the buck. Pull up. Forgot to flick my safety off. Pull. Nothing. So I flick the safety off. Still standing there. Shoot. And thing like flinches, but still standing there. Missed it. I don't know what I did. I don't know if I pulled on it or whatever. Rack another one and put it right on it. And you know, at like 100 yards, if you're using a peep gun, like that front peep or the front bead is taking up the whole chest of the deer. So like you're hoping for the best, but like,
yeah.
You know, usually 100 yards, you're still pretty good with them.
Yep.
Shoot, thing does the death kick, jumps up. I'm like, all right, yeah, I got him. So I get down there and there's like a spray of blood, hair, a little more blood than the last time. So I know I hit him twice at this point.
And was he just standing there the whole time?
Whole time. Shots? Yeah. So I shot like 100 yards, forgot to take safety off, move, rack it or flick the safety off, shoot. Miss, rack another one, and then I finally hit him on that thing. That thing trucks down the valley, and in the bottom of the valley, there's like some big rivers. There's like a big river. It's not a huge river, but a decent sized river. Thing beds right down next to the river. I see it go. Couldn't get a shot at it. It's probably like 120 yards, and it's like all low stuff down there. Can't see much. And that thing crosses the river. I'm like, all right, this deer's obviously hurting pretty bad. He's going to bed down again. He probably went from the last time I shot him, probably 300-400 yards down to the river. Bedded, he crossed river, and then that deer goes on a string for 2 miles to the back of the valley and then up the vertical backside, like area where I typically like try not to go when I'm trying to track a deer because it's so steep, like ledgy, cliffy. I mean, I'm sure there's some real good deer up there, but it's just hard going. That deer goes straight up the valley, or straight through the valley, right up the back, right up to like 3,000 feet, and I have a hunt buddy with me at this point, and he's right behind me. And we go up that steep stuff, and we get up right into the green growth, and it kind of flattens out at the top. And as soon as it flattens out, he beds down like 2-3 times, and there's blood in each bed. And it's on that right side, like a decent amount of blood, not a ton, but like when it's in the snow, it's so hard to tell. So I'm like, he's right here. He's walking tracks out of the bed. Like, I don't think he was expecting anything to follow him up that vertical stuff. So we start creeping through there, and I don't know, we maybe go 60 yards from that last of the three beds, and it's so thick in there, you see like 10 feet. Come around a spruce tree, and as I'm coming around the spruce tree, I see like the front right leg of a deer, like just the bottom part of the leg, and I look up, and there's a deer like 10, 12 feet away from me. All eyes, and I can see the main beam, and I was like, yeah, that's him. Pull up and shot him at like 10 feet, and it was pretty crazy, and that was it, but right up in the green growth.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
You have a long drag out of there.
Yeah, it was probably 2.5 miles, but we dragged down that ridge probably 3/4 of a mile and then hit a hiking trail, which isn't bad. But by the time we got back to the it was an awesome experience. You usually don't get to shoot deer that close unless you're Isaac and they run at you. Dragged it out, and there wasn't like hardly any snow once we got down to the truck, which is crazy. It's crazy how much that little bit of elevation snow, like, right? Killed that deer up at 3,000 feet, and there's like 6 to 8 inches of snow. You get down to the parking lot like 800 to 1,000 feet, and there's like a dusting. It's like
crazy. Do you have a deer cart?
No, I should get one though. Oh, especially if you're hunting areas that got like the trails and stuff.
Yeah. I got one. Oh, my dad's actually always had one, but this year I started bringing it everywhere with me.
So you okay. Yeah. Do you use it in mass with your deer?
No, we didn't have it that day. We went down with my buddy's truck, but up in Maine we ended up using it on my buddy Gilly's buck that he got with me.
Okay.
Yeah, that was like
Andy.
Was that
handy? Lifesaver?
Oh, wicked. Yeah, we were probably close to 3 miles back on a gated wood road a logging road. Like, but it was like, you know, they could drive tractor trailers on it.
Okay.
So it's worth a hike out to bring your gear, grab the cart.
Yeah, so what happened was he shot the buck, and I was like, well, Gilly, we got another 2 hours till dark. I'm going to keep poking around this swamp. Yeah. You go grab that cart and come back up in here, and I'll meet you at the buck at dark. And that's what we did. And we brought it out on the cart. It's easy. One arm.
Yeah.
Get some speed going.
Yeah. It's easy. It's like just pulling a shopping cart. Yeah.
I know a lot of guys use those jet sleds now.
Yeah. I need one bad.
I shouldn't get one because either that or a cart. Cause dragging a deer 2 miles is so brutal. New Hampshire, you said that was like the worst drag.
7 hours
of your life. 7 hours.
Five guys. That's 7 hours.
Crazy.
Steeper than hell.
I mean, just out there. It was just out there. It was just dumb fire. It was like probably better than 4 miles as a crow flies.
Yeah. But you had snow. I mean, if having snow is.
It was some, but it didn't
have a ton, right?
No, it was like a 2 inches maybe. Yeah.
Better than nothing though.
The hard part of that deer was he died in this big ravine. And
see that in the video.
It was hard to, you couldn't get him out of the ravine. Like, if you're going to drag him up out of that ravine.
Because it's like knife
edges. Yeah, it's like knife edges down into it. So basically, you're dragging him at the bottom of a ravine, and you're following the whole ravine the whole way out of the mountain, you know, from upwards of almost 4,000 feet all the way down out.
Gnarly, too. Those.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, and then the last 100 feet of the drag was across a really big river.
Really?
Like a really big river.
Get real wet.
I had me and my father-in-law had to float him across.
Oh, really?
Waist deep water.
Not a mountain stream.
No. Oh, no, it was a big river, but I mean, there was no way around it.
Yeah.
We could have drug him like 2.5 miles up along the river to a bridge. Mm-hmm. But it's
down there, get across.
Dude, it was like 7 o'clock at night. Yeah. I'm completely exhausted.
Pitch black.
Yeah, I'm 13, 14 miles in at this point in the day. I've been dragging all day. I mean, when I had shot that buck, I was 6-7 miles in. So, I mean, I was just whooped.
Yeah. Did you sleep for 3 days after that?
Oh, man, dude. Yeah.
It's the best hard work you ever do, though.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I got home. Yeah. You appreciate it.
I mean, how was that getting that 200-pound bow buck out? I mean, that was bare ground. You said, what, that was 2 miles back?
No, it wasn't that far back, but it was by myself. And
yeah,
I had probably about a 3/4 of a mile drag out or so by
myself.
Still
brutal, though.
Yeah.
Bare ground is brutal.
Yeah, but just pick your gear up, walk forward, leave your gear down, go back, get the deer, pull it up to your gear, and do it all
That's
over
what you're doing?
Gear.
Just back and forth?
Back and forth, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Huh. Whatever it takes.
Too bad that e-bike wouldn't drag them.
I know, right?
Just not enough torque in those things to get them going.
Yeah, I didn't have a cart though either, so I'm sure if you had a cart hooked up to it, it probably.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that.
It'd really help it out then.
If you got a deer cart like you got and just tie it up to the back of it.
Yeah,
right.
That'd be slick. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, you can really get moving then.
Yeah, you could be flying out of there.
Scary then.
Jeez.
Yeah,
that thing be pushing you the whole way.
Right.
No way. Huh. Wow. Well, anything else we want to talk about this episode, boys, or what? I think we got most of it done.
Yeah,
you guys good?
I'm good.
Just want to say thanks to Connor for stepping in here in this podcast. We learned a lot.
Thanks.
Check out Connor on Instagram, and you can see he does a really good job taking pictures whether he's shed hunting or deer hunting. He's got a lot of cool stuff on there. And are you going to do more video this year? Or?
Yeah, I plan on doing some more of the Isaac.
You should.
Whatever.
Yeah. You're always in deer, so you might start making some videos.
Yeah, I know it's fun to look back on it and rewatch them all. So.
Yeah. What is your Instagram for people?
My Instagram is just cshalong511.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Follow him. You'll see some cool pictures and stuff.
Yeah, his Instagram's always popping off during deer season. He's got the good stories going and stuff of
I post a lot of stories.
They're cool, what's going on.
I'm at.
You were just chasing some coyotes around the other day, weren't you?
Yeah, I got a coyote the other night, so
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Good. Always doing something outside.
Yeah. Give him a follow. We'll put the we'll put a link to his Instagram in the bio, but pretty much covers it, I think.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming down,
man.
And we'll see you guys on the next one.
Yeah, hell yeah. Good.